I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our contemporary reading are excerpts from the book Braving the Wilderness, The Quest for True Belonging and the Courage to Stand Alone by Dr. Brené Brown. Humiliation and dehumanizing are not accountability or social justice tools. They're emotional offloading at best, emotional indulgence at worst. And if our faith asks us to find the face of God in everyone we meet, that should include politicians, media, and strangers on Twitter with whom we most violently disagree. When we desecrate their divinity, we desecrate our own, and we betray our faith. Challenging ourselves to live by higher standards requires constant diligence and awareness. I found the definition of civility from the Institute for Civility in Government that very closely reflects how the research participants talked about civility. The organization's founders, Cassandra Donkey and Thomas Spath, write, "Civility is claiming and caring for one's identity, needs, and beliefs without degrading someone else's in the process. Civility is about disagreeing without disrespect, seeking common ground as a starting point for dialogue about differences, listening past one's preconceptions, and teaching others to do the same." Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, and verses 21 and 22. We are reading from the NRSV translation. "If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us today. May the words we receive inspire us, comfort us, and challenge us. Amen.
So, we have been talking about belonging. We have been talking about belonging. Yes, direct. We have been talking about belonging. Ilan na bang Sunday? Since June, no? Since June. And we end that today. One of the concepts about hell, impierno, is not fire. Of course, that's the most obvious or most, what do you call this, proclaimed image of hell. Fire, torment, or torture. But another concept of hell, impierno, is rather the coldness and the darkness of isolation and separation. And indeed, the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the teachings of other churches, other denominations, tells us that hell is eternal separation from God. And C.S. Lewis, the author of The Tales of Narnia, familiar tayo, the movie Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So C.S. Lewis, the author of The Tales of Narnia, says that hell is simply our own choice to move away from everything and everyone that is of God, or anything and everyone that is of love. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, oh, then there is really no such thing as hell. That God did not actually create hell. but rather hell is a particular state or choice. No choice. In which it is our own choice and action to move away from God. And in one of the writings of C.S. Lewis, hell is not even torture. It's not someone punishing you. It's actually someone who has everything that they ever want except God. There is no need of God. So it's separation. It's isolation. And C.S. Lewis further says that hell's gate, the gate, pintuan ng impyerno, is locked from the inside. And this makes perfect sense because you have heard it from me many times that spirituality, how we define spirituality in MCC, is that it is connectedness. It's being connected. Connected to ourselves, with others, to the natural world or web of life, and connectedness to the divine, to God, or if you call that God. No, connectedness to the divine. And if hell is separation from God, therefore heaven means communion with God. Yun din man the classic definition of heaven is, it's not clouds, of course that's the popular image, but heaven is simply this union, communion, connectedness with God, being one with God. And so sin, kasalanan, is any action that separates, disconnects, or isolates us. And hell is the condition or state of separation or isolation. So stay with me on this as we end our series on belonging. So therefore, it is our Christian ethical imperative, duty natin, and our mission to keep and sustain our relationships, heal broken ones, and create new connections as much as we can without compromising our values of love, justice, integrity, and truth. Of course, there are situations, meron naman mga sitwasyon where you really need to the separation is needed. If it is an abusive relationship, if it is an abusive environment, then separation is also a sacred duty. But for the vast majority of it, for our regular relationships, the ones that we have, it is our duty and mission to sustain relationships, try our best to heal broken ones, and create new connections. Again, without compromising our values of love, justice, integrity, and truth. Connection and relationship is both an ethic siya, morality siya, and it is also a mission for someone who claims to be spiritual. Well, we always hear, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. So if you are spiritual, the duty and the mission and the ethic is connection. Sustaining, maintaining, and creating new connections. Belonging and inclusion is both an ethic and a mission for every person who claims to be a follower of Jesus. That's why in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gives us a process of how to try our best to keep our connections and relationships, knowing too well that as humans, we are as capable of connection as we are capable of disconnection and destructive behaviors that leads to disconnection. So in our gospel reading today from Matthew, it's not the lectionary reading today. Our gospel reading for today, Jesus tells us that if you have a problem or an issue with someone in your community, church, but I think this is also applicable if, you know, family, friends, co-workers, outside of the church context. If you have a problem or an issue with someone, what's the first thing that you do? Talk to them directly and privately. Doesn't want to listen to you? Talk as a group. Bring two or three witnesses. Still cannot be resolved. Talk as a community. Or talk, I mean, as I've said, this is also applicable sa family. Talk as a family. Talk as a team. Or together with human resource, HR. But when you go to the human resource, that's already, ano eh, that's already scary if you have a summons from the HR. So, talk as a team. Now, if that still doesn't work, then that's when you make the hard decision. That's when you have to make the hard decision. And again, I'm not saying that we keep our relationships or connections with abusers. That's not what I'm saying. And God knows how many times the concept of forgiveness and reconciliation has always been abused and misused by the church throughout history. And also by individuals. You know, we know of individuals na medyo psychopathic or sociopathic and who uses manipulative ways and forgiveness and reconciliation to continue the abusive relationship and perpetuate oppression. That's not what this is all about. Far from it, the process that Jesus tells us is not only a way to try to, hindi lang siya, the process that Jesus tells us is not just keeping relationships and connections. The process that Jesus is telling us is a prophetic process to hold us and others accountable. The goal of the process or the communication is not just to reconcile. It is also to hold accountable. So we cannot remove that. Minsan na, we forget eh, nakakalimutan na it's not just about trying to mend the relationship. The other part of it is accountability. So the process that Jesus tells us is a prophetic process to hold us and others accountable in a redemptive way as much as possible. The problem is that, like Peter in the story, like Peter, we just want to cancel people. Cut them off without even trying or making the effort to have a conversation or a dialogue. Without even going through the process that Jesus has given us. Tayo rin, tulad ni Pedro, we are stubborn. Kasi tayo yung woke. Tayo yung tama. Tayo yung nakakaalam ng totoo. We know the truth. We are the ones who have values. Peter was the right-hand man of Jesus. You know, after Jesus telling the process of dialogue, Peter asks, how many times should I forgive my sister, brother? And my suspicion is because Peter doesn't want to forgive. But it's not just not wanting to forgive. Peter also does not want to even engage. Does not want to talk, to dialogue, to make an effort. And might be the underlying of that is because, again, like Peter, or like us, Peter feels that, oh, I'm the right person. I'm the correct one. I'm the right-hand man of Jesus. You know, I'm chummy chums with the Messiah. Why should I feel the need to reach out and understand? I'm not the one on the wrong side of history. More than that, our basic human reaction pushes us to exact the hurt or offense immediately. So it's not just not wanting to dialogue, but sometimes the action that we want to take is to exact the hurt right away, to exact the offense right away. So Dr. Brené Brown tells us in the book and reminds us, and I quote, humiliation and dehumanization, and I will add, violence, are not accountability, nor are they social justice tools. To humiliate and to dehumanize even the offender is not a form of accountability or social justice. The need to strike back or to use demonizing language against another human being, even if they are in the wrong, are emotional offloading at best and emotional indulgence at worst, sabi ni Dr. Brown. Jesus tells us, go, talk to your sister or brother or sibling or friend, co-worker, family member, whoever that person is. Reach out to him. Tell him, her, or them that they are wrong or have done something offensive or hurtful. Reach out to him or her or them with two or three witnesses. Reach out to that person together with the whole community. Iproseso nyo as a collective. Only after you have done this, after you have struggled and exhausted the process and made every effort to communicate, and still the person is unwilling to listen and to consider, only then do you cut them off. We're not really cutting people off. Only then you agree to disagree and to part ways after having the conversation. Only then do you surrender them to the grace and redemption of God. Yung sinasabi kong, may mga tao, ipinapasa Diyos mo na lang. There is no conflict or opposition between redemptive grace and prophetic conviction. There is no conflict. Sometimes it feels that. It actually feels that way. Yung parang conflict or opposition yung idea of grace, forgiveness, reconciliation versus speaking truth to power, denouncing injustice. Parang it is as if they are in opposition, but they're not. They complement each other. And the process that Jesus has given us in Matthew is one good process, applicable, as I mentioned, to our friends, family, communities, and to some extent to our nation, to the world. Despite strong disagreements about social justice realities, politics, human rights, we can still engage and have a conversation, even if it will not lead to an agreement, or at least not yet. And if indeed an agreement or reconciliation cannot be reached, then we can part ways knowing we tried our best and made the effort to listen, to understand, and to speak truth. Civility is important in making and maintaining connections and relationships. At napaliwanag ko na, kailan ko ito pinaliwanag? Hindi ko matandaan. Civility is not kaplastikan. There's a difference. There is a difference. Kaplastikan ba hypocrisy? Hindi. Is it? Not really, no? But kaplastikan is more of double-facing. Being a double-faced. Civility is not being double-faced. There's a difference. Civility is that... ano yung paliwanag ko dati? Civility is being able to still face the person, have a conversation with the person that you disagree with in a professional way. In a human way. Being double-faced is you're being chummy-chums with a person, but behind the person's back, you are talking bad about the person that you really don't like the person. You know, you hate the guts of the person, but you are facing the person without, as if you're okay, and without actually talking about your issues with that person. Passive-aggressive behavior. So civility is important in making and maintaining connections and relationships, because even the person that we most love, our partners or parents, no matter how we love them, there will be times that we will disagree with them. There will be times that they will hurt us. There will be times that we will hurt them. And civility is needed during those times. It is an essential practice in belonging and certainly as a Christian living within a community. If you are a Christian living with or as part of a community, being civil or civility is really, really important. The other way of me saying that many years ago, here, you are not required to be close friends with everyone. But you are required to be friendly. You get the difference? You are required to be friendly with everyone, to be civil with everyone. But you do not necessarily have to be really close friends with everyone. Because even in church, and even in a progressive church, we get at each other's nerves. from time to time. And our difference with conservative churches is that we try our best to really do the process that Jesus tells us and to really be civil, to talk to the other person despite the discomfort. Civility, if I quote Dr. Brown in what Yam has read beautifully. So Dr. Brown references the definition of civility from the Institute of Civility in Government. And I quote, "Civility is claiming and caring for one's identity, needs, and beliefs without degrading someone else in the process. Civility is about disagreeing without disrespect. Trying to seek common ground as a starting point for dialogue and difference." And we have certainly experienced that in this church many times. As a church, as an organization, there have been people who, even within the MCC community or the LGBT community, who bashed us online, attack us online, but we never punched back. We did it professionally. Either we did not engage because it will amplify the problem, or we released a very professional, direct statement. That's how we did it, you know. And then privately, if there's a need, there was one incident when I had to privately tell the other person, hey, this is not okay. What you're doing online is not okay. As a follower of Jesus, our civility is more than just civility. Because in the Filipino, in among Pinoys, when you say civil, it actually has a certain connotation and edging towards double face, towards kaplastikan. Civility is also simply not really having the relationship with someone, but just because we have no choice but to be together, so I'll just be here. That's the Filipino idea of civility, which is not what Dr. Brown is saying. But that's how Filipinos think about the word civility. And so, I want to say that as follower of Jesus, our civility is more than just civility. It may be the starting point to engage or to keep engaging. The very willingness and effort to reach out and undergo the process must be clear to us. To be clear to us as coming from our deep sense of love and justice. Love and justice for ourselves and others. Love and justice for the people we need to engage in difficult conversations. And let us be reminded that God's justice is redemptive, not punitive. Not in terms of punishment. It's always redemptive. And with that redemptive, I wanted to recall to Jack and to those who have witnessed this in many years ago, a story, a real story. And this was made public. So I'm not doing an unnecessary disclosure because this was made public back then. There was, although I will not mention the name of the person, so there was this person who attended MCC, Open Table, when we were still in Cubao. And this person initially declared that she doesn't aware what her pronouns would be when we asked. But I would say him. And this person declared that he had crush with the pastor, Pastor Kakay. Kakay was the pastor back then. And at first, it was an innocent thing. But suddenly, it's bordering. It came to a point that it was already stalking, intrusive, creepy, really. To the point that Pastor Kakay was in Taiwan for a conference and already went home back to the Philippines. But the church in Taiwan contacted, after a few months, contacted Kakay that they received a package that actually came from this person. Because the person keeps on sending her, you know, letters of affection, packages. So it was really terrible that at first Kakay said that she tried to manage it. You know, because she also identified that this person only had MCC as friends, as community. And if it can be managed by her as the pastor to keep that person in the community, she would. But again, it already came to the point that it cannot. So the board was gotten involved with it. I was not part of the board. I'm not yet the pastor back then. But finally there was a final conversation when the church finally decided, the board decided that this person has to be banned from the church. To the point that we even had to threaten criminal, to file criminal charges. Yeah. Cease and desist, or what's that? Yung ano? Restraining order. We didn't go that far. Almost. Okay. But that's also the time when we, the leadership changed. From Kakai, I became the pastor, and I still had to deal with because the person, it moved away from obsession with Kakai to an obsession of staying in the community. Because she didn't have anyone. He did not have anyone. And obviously, this person has some mental health conditions. And later on, the mother got involved. And we noticed that the mother also has some mental health conditions. The point is, through all of that, the pastors, the board, had to process all of that. Yes, he was banned, but when I became the pastor, you really cannot ban anyone from church. So I had to set conditions of how you can come back to church. You have to seek professional help. I even went, you know, I don't have any business going to Quezon City on that particular day. I only went so early in the morning. I'm from very far away. I went just to meet her therapist and to talk about how he can come back to church. What will be the conditions? What will be the, you know. And throughout that, so we never gave up on someone. I never gave up on that person. And true enough, at some point the person came back to church. After so much toil and trouble. He came back to church a few Sundays a few months, and he was good. He was good. He was able to do good, not just for the church, but for his own personal life. But suddenly, he suddenly decided to go Buddhist and go to a Buddhist temple in Quezon City. And later on, I found out that he has another crush on a Buddhist monk, a lady Buddhist monk, you know. But he never had a... I don't think he had a problem with the temple. He learned from us. So he knew how to... There's a pattern, because before he came to MCC, he was also banned from the Unitarian Universalist Church, whose pastor we also know. And he was also, you know, removed from the church. Because in the Unitarian Universalist, he was hacking the email of the person that he had a crush on, an obsession with. Really creepy, you know. So it's a lot of trouble. But in a way, I also, after going through it, I also felt that I think we did a good job, or at least I did a good job in never giving up on people. Or not really not giving up, struggling with people who are struggling. You know, always having that redemptive justice. We're not saying that this behavior is okay. We made that clear to this person. And there are conditions where you have to abide in order to make this place safe. So we did that. We underwent the process. I underwent that process with that person. So what do we do if a BBM supporter attends this church? Civility. You know, the house to house during the campaign, before the elections, the house to house of the so-called Pink Lawans in Kakampuets is an effort to reach out and communicate despite the obvious difficulty and opposition. To listen and to talk. To reach out to people who will mostly be different from them, from you. Not only different, but will have an opposing political opinion, whether that opinion is misinformed or not. And in the conversation, both you and the other will each make a stand for the truth that each of you know and for the values or lack thereof that each of you have. In the house to house, in talking to people one by one during the campaign, you, the Pink Lawan, and the one from the red camp will make a stand for each of your versions of truth and your values. In that conversation, you may win someone over. You may win or convert your kababayan. Or you may not. And we know we did not. We did not. But you went from one house to another anyway. From one karinderia and tindahan to another. From one jeepney driver and tricycle driver to another. Sometimes by yourself, talking to someone. Sometimes with two or three other pink friends. And sometimes as an entire contingent. As we face the reality of this new administration and of a world that's getting more and more isolated and separated because of the toxicity that social media breeds and profits from. Kanino ko ba narinig yun? That social media companies are actually profiting from the toxic engagements. If the engagement of people in social media is friendly, peaceful, they actually don't profit from that. They profit from the conflicts happening in social media. Where was I? Yeah. They profit from. As we face the reality of this administration and of a world that is getting more and more isolated and separated because of the toxicity that social media breeds and profits from and amplifies, let us be reminded of the Jesus process of reaching out and the Jesus process of prophetic conversation. Let us be mindful of our own tendencies to simply cancel out people without making the effort to reach out and understand. Let us pay attention to our own tendencies to reject and cut off people by oversimplifying their politics or their lives. Now, I am not saying that we should start talking to hardliners. No. But what I'm saying is that people are not as simple as being BBM or pink or whatever color. We cannot oversimplify people's politics and lives. There are hardliners on both camps and on many camps. I'm not saying that we engage, but I'm also saying people are always a spectrum. And maybe there are somewhere in the spectrum that we can talk. We can have a conversation. Whether they convert us or we convert them, whatever happens, the most important thing is we talk. We listen. We have a conversation. Without being aware of it, instead of working towards the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, you might be participating in the devil's work
of separation and isolation on earth as it is in hell. Even if you are a progressive, let us practice civility, or let the practice of civility be our starting point in re-engaging again. Let us reach out to those we can still reach. Let us start listening again with an open heart. Let us speak to people with truth and the values we claim to have. After all, there is no goal. There is no goal to win over everyone, especially the hardliners. But if we try, we may win over a few, then another few, then a little more, until we don't realize we have won over enough to change not just the Philippines, but the world. Like Jesus and the early Christians, who won a few people, and then another few. Lost some, opposed some, then added a little bit more, won a little bit more, until such time the few were already many. I end our series on belonging. The series of belonging. It's really a good, you know, a good book, and many of the other works of Brené Brown. I end our series on belonging with the same wisdom of Dr. Brené Brown. And I quote, "We're in a spiritual crisis. And the key to building a true belonging practice is to maintain our belief in the inextricable human connection. Show up for collective moments of joy and pain so we can actually bear witness to the inextricable human connection. Doing so," that's end of quote, "doing so, we may continue realizing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.